Verse 13 is our, really a kind of our key verse, and we will get to it toward the end, but the title of the message this morning is Straight Paths. In verse 13 he says, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." Now I'm sure that most, if not all, of us have heard or even used the phrase, "All roads lead to Rome." There's a lot of different uses of the word, and if you will, in a proverbial sense. But in a real literal sense, the fact is that this phrase is a historical fact that during the days when Rome was a world-dominating power to the known world in her days, that literally all roads did lead in one way or another, led to Rome. Amen? There may have been some connecting roads along the way, but there were major highways that struck out from Rome and to the known world at that time. Now, some of the things that did, it made commerce so much simpler and easier to traverse those roads and to be able to move merchandise along more effectively. It also made for a more effective means of moving troops in a hurry if they had to move troops to the outer reaches of her empire. Much like our interstate highway system that was developed primarily to move our armies more effectively, but of course the byproduct was it moved citizens. It also moved commerce a lot more readily to get to where it needed to be a lot easier and a lot quicker. But in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 13, the word straight is the Greek word orthos. It is used as a figure of speech speaking of righteousness. And oftentimes folks will use the idea of all roads lead to Rome in a biblical ignorant sense, that all religions lead to heaven in one way or another. They do not. We need to get that straightened out very quickly. And this is simply a fact of Scripture to which you don't have to take my word for it, but you better take God's word on it and or suffer the consequences of one's ignorance, believing that all religions lead to Rome. I think I've shared it in the past. I had a lady come to me, and she said, "Well, you know, Pastor, I try to get to all the churches because I figure that there's a little bit of good in every one of them, and that little bit of good will get me to heaven in all the churches." So she was trying to combine all the different beliefs and all the different doctrines together, and in case one wasn't working, then the other one would be, you know, she could fall back and say, "Well, yeah, I know I went to that church, and that was not a good church, but I went to this church, and that's a good church over there, so I should be." Folks, there's a lot of misconceptions out there today. Let me tell you, spiritually speaking, and in a biblical sense, all roads do not lead to heaven. So by God's grace this morning, we're going to look at two paths, old paths and straight paths this morning. Father, as we come to your throne of grace and we look to the message, Straight Paths today, won't you guide and direct? Lord, may we be attentive. Lord, may we be guided and directed by your Spirit to see these wonderful biblical truths that we can apply to our own personal lives, that we can learn something and glean something that will strengthen us and encourage us in the faith. And Lord, if there is one that does not know Christ or has been laboring under the falsehood of being saved when indeed they are not saved, then Father, may your Spirit, not this man, but Lord, your Spirit through your word, speak to that heart, opening eyes and opening ears that they might see and they might hear what is the truth and that they might be delivered from that which is deception and that which are lies and into that which is truth this morning. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory for the work that you're about to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Does this seem like it's getting a little bit hot in here for everybody? Or is everybody kind of like really comfy? You know, it's so warm. Maybe we can just turn that one. I've actually got two things working here this morning, and if we can turn that thermostat down a little bit here. When we look at the two paths this morning, that roads oftentimes is used as a metaphor for one's direction in life or choices such as, you take the high road and I'll take the low road, or if you take this direction, I'll take this direction, and or if you take this course, I'll take this course over here. But the Lord Jesus Christ in his Sermon on the Mount only really spoke of two roads that were really two very critical, important roads concerning your eternal destiny. He spoke of a narrow road. And one would have to enter through the straight gate to enter onto the narrow road. But he also spoke about a wide gate, which would lead to a broad road. But these are really the only two roads that he spoke of as far as one's eternal destiny. And if we can turn to Matthew chapter 7, we will pick up the Lord as he's beginning to close out his Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, and a couple other verses here as we move on. But Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate." Now he's saying here's the cause why the broad road is so populated. He said, "Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way." And that word narrow means to be pressed into, if you will. So because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And now we'll talk about that word find in a little bit. But he's speaking here, if you will, in verses 13 and 14. The word way there is the Greek word hados, and it means a traveled way, a road. And it's used in a metaphorical sense this morning as a course of one's conduct, a way of thinking, a way of feeling, a way of deciding, which leads one to their conduct. Amen? Somebody says, it's obvious what you're thinking by your attitude. Sometimes our kids don't quite get that. But I can tell you got a negative attitude.
How do you know I got a negative attitude?
You know, it's kind of written all over your face and kind of written all over your body English, if you will, for the most part. But that word hados, in a metaphorical sense, literally means a way of thinking, feeling, and deciding one's actions or reactions or one's course, if you will. And in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that we are on one of two of these roads, if you will, but the invitation is only given to choose one. You don't have to choose the broad road because, you folks, we're already on the broad road. And so the invitation is to what? Enter in at the straight gate and enter on the narrow road. Because if we understand that that is there, that we were born traveling on the broad road. Now, all of humanity begins their journey, as you and I did, on the broad road. And unless those on this broad road make a conscious decision to enter the straight gate that opens onto that narrow road, then their trek upon this broad road is going to lead to their eternal destruction. It says there in verse 13, and it says that leadeth to destruction. The broad road leads to destruction. And that is a word that is typically used in the Bible, apoleia. And it literally means a perishing which consists of eternal misery in hell. That's why it's so important that we understand the difference between the narrow road and the broad road. The broad road leads to destruction. It leads to an eternal separation from God and Christ in a place that is miserable beyond, I believe, beyond description, if you will, in a place called hell. Now, how many times have you looked at the Bible or heard someone share from scriptures that Jesus is the way? Oh, that's pretty narrow-minded, preacher. Yeah. It's narrow-minded because God has given us this very narrow way. There are not many roads that are going to... Listen, Jesus Christ is the gate by which we enter onto the narrow road that will take us on that journey toward heaven. So it says here that, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And you said, well, you know, that's just too narrow, preacher. You mean to tell me that this religion and this religion and that religion, that's all, they're all wrong and that God's going to condemn them? Listen, no, they chose to make bad decisions and bad choices and staying on the broad road with everybody else with all their ideas and their ideologies about how they're going to get there. But you say, pretty, that's narrow, or that's being too narrow-minded. Or some would say that my way is as good as anyone's. And so you pass this straight gate by that opens to a narrow road of which Christ urges imperatively so. When you look at chapter 7 and verse 13, enter ye. It's in the imperative, if you will. In other words, if you really want to spend an eternity with Christ, then you're going to have to enter this straight gate. It's imperative that you do so. Listen, if you have no desire to spend your eternity with Christ, and you think that somehow hell is going to be a better place than heaven, then by all means, stay on the broad road. But God describes hell, and he said, is a place of suffering, a place of untold misery, if you will. And so, we find that so many opt for the broad road, as he says there in verse 13. He said, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. And we ask ourselves, why? Why are so many willing to stay on the broad road? And the reason that Christ makes the invitation one of imperativeness is because you and I will not inquire, which is the meaning of the word find in verse 14. Because straight is the great gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The word find literally has to do in the Greek with inquiry. Okay, why is it that so many of us are on the broad road, and why is it that so few are on that narrow road? And most people think, well, it must be that the numbers here indicate that this must be the right way. And that must be the wrong way, because only a few people are on that road. Well, the truth of the matter is, the sin nature doesn't want what's on the narrow road. They don't want that lifestyle. They want to stay on the broad road where everybody is living it up and hooping it up and partying and having a great and wonderful time and never realize that they're headed to a Christless eternity. You know, that's how the devil works. He wants to keep us blinded to the fact that, listen, in all the midst of all this worldly gaiety and this carnality and all this fleshly stuff and this desiring and craving and working so hard to get the material things of this world, that we're missing the joy of the narrow road that leads to life, abundant life. It's in the present tense, if you will, meaning now is the time to inquire. Not after it's too late. It's also in the active voice, meaning that you and I are the ones that needs to do this inquiry. Listen, I can present it to you, I can give it to you, but listen, I'm only going to appeal to those who are searching and those who are seriously and genuinely looking. They're on that broad road and they say, you know, yeah, there's a lot of fun out here, but there's also this ugliness out here, and there's this emptiness, and there's this vanity out here, and all these things that these people on the narrow road don't seem to be experiencing. And so I inquire, what is it that they have that I don't have? Why is it that their lives are being lived the way they're living, and we're not living that way? And so it's important, the present tense, you got to do this now, because there's going to come a time and a day when it's too late. Active voice means that you're going to have to exert some energy in this inquiry. And that you and I are the ones that need to do this inquiry now. And we need to do it now before it's too late. And in your life on the broad road comes to an end, because Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed unto man once to die, after this the judgment. That's when it's too late to inquire. So why are there so many roads being offered if Christ states the road is narrow, as in one way and only one? We sing the song, there's one way and only one, and so on, the little kid song. But I want you to notice the follow-up to verses 13 and 14 as to the answer to that question in verse 15. He talks about the broad road, and he talks about the narrow road. Then he goes in verse 15, beware of false prophets. These are men who hate God and hate the way of God and hate the righteousness of God, and they are false prophets. They're going to teach and preach. That's why we have so many different religions in the world today. They looked at the Word of God and they didn't like it. All you have to do is read Romans chapter 1 to find that out. It said that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And what, they worship corruptible things. They begin to worship the things that God created rather than the Creator. And that's why we have so many religions today, because of so many false prophets. But he goes on and he says, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Listen, I don't care whether it's myself or a visiting missionary or a visiting evangelist, or whether you listen to someone on television or on the radio, or if you've got a book, you make sure you've got the book opened, reading, following, studying, and meditating, so that you'll know when someone is standing in a pulpit, wherever they may be in the world, and they're teaching the truth, or if they're being deceptive. So, it goes on, and it says there in verse 16, ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. So, folks, there's evidences. But I believe that the evidences will become far more stark, if you will, more noticeable, more observable when you're in the Word and following along, and you'll be able to say, whoa, let's back up here a minute. That's not what the Bible says, accordingly. And so these are important to this narrow gate, the straight gate and the broad and the wide gate. So it is the point and the purpose of inquiry to take the plenarily preserved Word of God and to search the Scriptures, for in them you and I will find absolute truth. The errors in the false religions and their false prophets will become readily discernible. The truth will set you free from the bondage of sin, from the lies and the deception of the ministers of Satan. Listen, can we say this morning that the devil can mimic and that's what I'm going to look for, just only mimic, but to add enough truth to a lie that you might be easily deceived? I mean, the Bible warns us in 2 Corinthians, you just might want to mark it down there in 2 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 11. And it talks about not only the devil transforming himself, and it is not the word metamorpho, it is the Greek word meneske meditsu. And it says there in verse 13, he says there in 2 Corinthians 11, he said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming, meneske meditsu, themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, the same word there. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Listen, the devil sends them out to deceive. That's why God has given to us his infallibly, plenarily preserved word, so that we cannot be fooled easily. Listen, if you're not in the word of God, you will. Listen, there was a time when some of the cults would boast and brag that they have taken many of their believers from fundamental ministries, and it was because these people were not in the word. Oh, they may have been a part of the church, they may have been involved in the church, but because they weren't in the word of God and someone knocked on their door one day and began to ask them questions that they could not answer in and of themselves because they were not aware of what was in the word of God, and they were led out of fundamental Bible-believing churches into deceiving cults, lying, deceiving cults. Your anchor for absolute truth, none other than the word of God. Right now, by your choosing, you are either still on the broad road, heading for an appointment with destruction, or you have, by inquiry, stepped from this broad road, entered through the straight gate, and are living on the narrow road, which leads to eternal life with Christ. So you're on one of those two roads this morning. So we look next at the old paths. Theological liberalism has been around for millennia. Liberal theologicalism has been around just only these couple years or last decade or so. In Jeremiah, we find Israel is nearing the end of trying God's patience. God has sent to them several of the minor prophets like Hosea and so on, but he also has sent Isaiah with a long period of time in which he covered prophesying about Israel's sin and God's impending judgment. Then he raised up Jeremiah to do the same, and a portion of Ezekiel is also pre-exilic, if you will. But these were messages to the nation of Israel. Listen, you need to shape up because you're getting further and further and further away from me, and you're getting closer and closer to the point of absolute accountability here, and it's not going to be a pleasant time for you folks. But you know what the Bible says? They didn't listen to Isaiah. They didn't listen to Jeremiah. They didn't listen to Ezekiel. They didn't listen to any of the other pre-exilic prophets. They were going to do their own thing, which we'll see here in a little bit. But every day passing, they were closer to God's judgment and never realized because of their idolatry and their false teachings from the false prophets that were risen up in their midst and their easy toleration of them. We are too ready and willing to tolerate the false prophets today. Why would they tolerate the false prophets? Because they liked their lies more than God's truth. The same is going on even today. Folks don't want to hear the truth of God. Tickle my ears is what they want. And with weak, anemic, deluded messages, but don't preach the hard stuff. I don't need that. I'm okay. I may not go to church all the time, but I'm not a bad husband. I'm not a bad wife. Hey, we even open the Bible once in a while. And we give to charity. So I don't really need that hardcore stuff. I don't need that hard gospel truth so much. Give that to the really wicked sinners. They need it more than I do. And you wonder why we are where we are today. Now, I'm not talking about you folks. You're all here today, amen? You're here on a regular basis. But that becomes a prevailing thought as to why our pews are not full. It's why fundamental churches don't have to build bigger and better buildings, because we're not willing to sit down there and provide entertainment for a couple of minutes or a couple of hours and to make people feel physically good about going to church and walking out feeling not changed spiritually, if you will. But the prophet warned Israel through his prophet Amos in chapter 8 and verse 4. It is, behold, the days come. I believe they're already on America today. He's talking to Israel. He said, but behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst, nor of water, but of hearing the words of God. People don't want to hear what the word of God has to say. Give to me in little, easy, palatable doses so that it won't upset my apple cart. It won't upset my way of living. The Apostle Paul wrote some centuries later to his spiritual son Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. He said, for the time will come, not might come, but for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They would rather hear false doctrine. And I think down there subconsciously, because they may know that it's false, but listen, if it doesn't challenge them to change anything about their lives, I'm okay with that. It becomes an attitude. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, meaning literally to only wanting to hear pleasant things. Don't tell me how to live my life. Don't tell me what to do with my money. Don't tell me what to do with my finances. Don't tell me what to do with my family. Don't tell me how to handle my wife or to handle my husband or how to handle this or that. Now, that's my business. Well, if I preach the whole counsel of God, I'm going to touch all those things at some point. And I'm not going to make an apology for it. It's in the Word of God. It's in our best interest. It's in my best interest. And listen, there's some things I had to learn the hard way. That if I just looked in the Word of God and God says, yeah, see, there it is, Jim. If you'd just been in the Word a little more often, you would have seen that, and you wouldn't have to go through what you're going through along the way. So it's why Christ used the word many on the broad road. When you look at it, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So it's why Christ used the word many on the broad road in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Itching ears, pleasant things, things that don't upset or cause us stress. You know, when you and I stand up against the practice of homosexuality, we're interfering with people's lives. Well, the truth of the matter is, we only really want what's best for them, and that best is what God wants for them. Amen. Or same-sex marriages. We understand the implications of these things and how they have a profound negative impact on our society today. Whether it's Christians who are cheating on their wives, or fornication, or adultery, or anything. All these things are all in the bag somehow to cause problems and to bring about a powerful breakdown in our moral fabric in our society. But people just don't want to be upset by the truth. Tell me anything but the truth. Lie to me if you have to, but don't give me the truth. You know, Israel had a choice as God encouraged them through Jeremiah the prophet. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, if we can just turn there very quickly, and we will get back to Hebrews rather. Jeremiah chapter 6, in the very early stages of Jeremiah's ministry, I believe there was still some hope for Israel at that time. But verse 16, the Bible says there, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. You know, you look out there, and there really isn't a lot of rest in people's lives. A lot of individual lives are in a state of turmoil, financially speaking. And you can always somehow trace that back to a spiritual problem in their lives. It may be just simply in the marriage relationship between husband and wife. There are dysfunction there. There's a dysfunction between the parents and the children along the way. And so he says that we are to stand ye in the ways. That means road, the broad road. You notice a straight gate from back in our earlier text. Do you inquire or foolishly look around you and reason, all these folks can't be wrong? Never go with the majority unless the majority is in the truth. If the majority is not espousing the truth, then they're not in the right, regardless of how many. Truth of the matter is that the narrow way is always going to be the way of truth. God says they are wrong. Do you pass by the straight gate or get off the broad road and enter through the narrow gate onto the broad road? If you are wise and you take the straight gate and you exit the broad road and step onto the narrow road, you will be a genius. And you'll look back in your life and say, man, I'm glad I made that decision. And he goes on and he says in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, he said, and see. The idea is, look, be observant, inquire again, and ask for the old paths. You know, we need to come to a place where in churches we look at that which our seminaries and our Bible colleges are producing. And we need to write back to them and say, you know what? You need to start producing some men who embrace the old paths. The old truths, the stand-by, solid truth of the Word of God. None of this neo-evangelicalism, this kinder, softer, gentler, user-friendly business here. Listen, God doesn't want us to be user-friendly. God wants us to love the world, to preach the uncompromising gospel so that men will know how to make the right decisions. But he says, for the old paths, listen, we need to get some colleges back on. And there are some good colleges out there today who are standing by the old paths, the old ways, the righteous ways of God, and they're not compromising along the way. And so he says, ask for the true ways of God and not the distorted ways of the godless and the false prophets. But he goes on in that verse and he says, where is the good way and walk therein? Ask for the old paths, because the old paths are going to lead you in the right way, in the right direction to go. And he says, walk therein. Remain steadfast and walk in those principles and walk in those precepts. And he says, a life where God's word and God's principles are your daily guide. It's how you make your decisions. It's how you make your choices based on God's principles and on God's precepts. Not just going out there and on a whim making an idea or making a choice or making a decision without first getting before God and say, God, what am I missing here? What do I need to know? Lord, I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need some Bible principles that will guide me and lead me along the way. And of course, he says the result, if you will ask for them and if you'll walk in them, he says, and ye shall find rest for your souls. He's talking about peace. A peace of heart, knowing that God's in control and I'm making the right decisions and I'm making the right choices because I've got Bible principles and Bible precepts to back those things up, and I'm making some good decisions here, and I can rest even if it seems like, you know what, Lord, I made this decision, but I don't realize why things aren't going quite right now. Well, that's because the devil's trying to distract you. He's trying to get you off that narrow road and back onto the broad road, if you will, in a sense. But the truth of the matter is, God wants us to experience rest. Would you like to have rest in your finances? I'm not talking about being able to go out there and pay your bills because you've got bazillions of dollars just floating all over the place. I'm simply because you made good financial decisions to begin with. And you're not up to here and then some in debt. But you make some good financial decisions. Or how about interpersonal decisions between husbands and wives and sons and daughters, or between one thing or another in this society. Being able to make good decisions based on the Bible principle, that will bring peace and that will bring rest to your souls. Amen. And of course, unfortunately, the end, the people show the real nature of their heart. And they said in that same verse, we will not walk in them. Oh, how little did they realize that even before Jeremiah's death, they would be carried off by Nebuchadnezzar off into captivity. That many would die by the sword. Sons and daughters would be taken into captivity, and many of their husbands and even their wives would be killed and destroyed, and the rest would be taken off into captivity to serve a heathen king. So we know the end of we will not walk in them. The disobedience and the rejection. Nebuchadnezzar took the nation for his slaves. For us, it is Satan who takes us to serve him and to serve sin and its consequences. And we close with the straight paths this morning. Our text today has to do with lives lived poorly, carnally, worldly, and causing our Heavenly Father to chasten us. And that is why we read verse 11 from Hebrews chapter 12. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Listen, there's only one reason why God would chasten us. And that is because there is something in our lives that God does not find pleasing, that God wants us to deal with, and he wants us to be aware of it in our lives, the presence of it in our lives. Remember the days when our parents chastened us and we felt sorry for ourselves? You go off to your room, I don't want to talk to them again, and you would have the little pity party, if you will. We had the woe was us party. Even though we knew that we deserved it, we reacted as we did oftentimes the same way that when the Lord chastens his people. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12 directs us to stop the self-pity. He says there, wherefore, lift up your hand. Listen, God's doing the chastening. God sees something that needs to be changed, something that really needs to be dealt with, something that needs to be worked on here. So don't get off in the corner and have this pity party. He says, rather, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. He wants us to strengthen those things, if you will. The idea is to stop the self-pity, stop the self-loathing, perk up, be encouraged. God loves you. God has corrected us. Now buck up. And as he says in verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet. In other words, don't go down that crooked path. Have you ever gone out camping at nighttime? How many of you, as young person, you ever went camping out in the woods, maybe a kids camp or something like that? We were fortunate. Someone had paid for a bunch of us young people. We were at Grace Baptist. It was Grace Church at that time down in Pennsylvania. Went up to Percy Crawford's camp up in the Poconos. They go way back in the last of the 50s, if you will. And we were up there, and they said you had to bring a flashlight at nighttime, because if you had to wake up in the middle of the night and leave the Hogans to go to the bathrooms up there, there were tree roots. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't a paved highway. It was rough and it was rugged. And plus, you might meet those little kitty cats with that little white stripe down their back, too. So they said it'd be nice to have a flashlight at nighttime so you kind of pay attention to where you were going. You wouldn't stumble and you wouldn't get hurt. And you wouldn't walk into one of those perfume dispensers that walk around at nighttime. So anyway, the reason they did it because the way was a rough road. And they wanted us to be careful. And they wanted us to be cautious. And listen, when we get on that rough road, you could sprain an ankle. My son does a lot of hiking with his father-in-law and his brother-in-law. They've hiked in the presidentials over in New Hampshire. They've hiked all the 46 peaks in the summer and the wintertime over there in New York. But you have to wear the right kind of foot gear so that you won't easily twist an ankle. And, of course, they have hiking sticks that they have with them, poles and so on that they carry. So, I mean, they're really into this, and they know the dangers and the perils that can happen out that way. So it's not like you and I just walking down Main Street out here, although some of these sidewalks leave a lot to be desired. But the idea is that God is correcting us, and once he has corrected us, listen, be thankful that God loves you. Be thankful that God cares. And we try to tell our own children, listen, you ought to be thankful that your mom and I, dad, care about you. You say, yeah, but you have to care so much. Yeah, we have to care so much. That's my job to care, amen? It's God's compassion is that he cares for you and I. And he goes on and he says there, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. What did you learn from the chastisement? Then make corrections in your life, in your thought life, in your desires, and use righteous truths, righteous precepts to be the pathway for your walk throughout your day and throughout your life. Because if you don't, the pathway will be crooked, it will be rough, treacherous, handicap your spiritual walk, cripple your spiritual well-being. Or as the verse says, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Your spiritual walk will be crippled by sin, Satan, and the world, as well as your flesh. Your spiritual eyes will be plagued by weakness after weakness and causing God to have to once again chasten you and I as an individual. So Paul writes, and make straight paths for your feet. I challenge you this morning to make straight paths for your feet, for your home, for your marriage, and for your family life and your family dynamics, in business or at play. So in closing, two paths. Are you with the many on the broad road this morning leading to destruction? Or are you on the narrow road where the few in comparison have discovered the truth? But once again, which gate you enter is your choice. Are you on the narrow road? Have you been duped by the liberal neo-evangelicals of this day with their watered-down, shallow messages? Or are you demanding the old paths of uncompromised truth and uncompromised precepts? Are you licking your wounds of chastisement and sort of stalled in your spiritual progress? My message is to simply suck it up. Thank God that He loves you. Thank God that He cares enough to demonstrate His love, to correct you, and to get busy for the Lord in living righteously to please Him by, as it says in verse 13, make straight paths for your feet. Make straight paths for the way that you walk each and every day before the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. Lord, it's a powerful message today, first of all, towards salvation. And Lord, for the character and the nature of those of us who have traversed at one time the broad road, but haven't seen the narrow gate or the straight gate, and having inquired, found truth, embraced it and accepted it, and are now on that narrow road. But Lord, on that narrow road, we can also look at much of what we said today as to the nature, the conduct, and the character of our walk on that narrow road. Lord, not everyone on that narrow road is walking as they ought to be walking, or not living as they ought to be living. And Lord, there's no excuse, there isn't any reason other than the love of the flesh, the love of the world that comes between us and our love of the Lord and our love of His righteousness. And so, Father, as you know the nature and the need of each and every heart, Lord, the crookedness that's beginning to appear before our feet and how we need to make it straight, that we may walk in the safety of your precepts and your principles and enjoy the blessings that come with righteous living. And Father, you know the need of the heart today. In this invitation time, Father, bring about your desire and your results. And we give you that praise. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as Diane quietly plays on the piano today. And I'm wondering, as a child of God today, you know what your walk is. Actually, you know which road you're on, don't you? You know that if you've gone through the straight gate and on the narrow road, or if you're still on the broad road, you know that. And God's speaking to you this morning about the nature. God wants you to get off that broad road and enter through that straight gate and receive His Son, Jesus Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is that straight gate. And behind Him follows that straight road. How about it, folks, this morning? Do you know which road you're on? What is the character of that straight gate, narrow road life that you've chosen? Is it what it ought to be? So that when those who are on the broad road look over and see you on that narrow road, they know that you've got something they don't have. They know that you've got something that they need. And hopefully it'll be something that they see that they want more than anything else. And they'll also find or inquire about that straight gate. And you'll be able to speak to them. And they'll be able to come to know Christ as their own personal Lord and Savior. And they too will enter through that straight gate and get on that narrow road. But it requires you and I, who are already on that narrow road, to live dedicated, Bible principled way of life. Pastor, would you pray for me this morning? Would you pray for me today? That's what I want. That's what I need. I desire it and I crave it. Preacher, does that mean I might have to bring some changes? Yes, it may. I don't know. God will tell you if it does. God will let you know. God just wants to know if you're willing and ready this morning. Preacher, would you pray for me in closing today? And again, maybe you're on the broad road. You just realize that for the very first time this morning, that you're there because of that's the way you were born. That's the road that you've traveled because that's the way that everybody else has traveled. But you realize it's a dead-end road. It leads to a Christless eternity. You want to get off that dead road, and you want to get on the road of life. You say, preacher, would you pray for me in closing? I'm not sure I'm going to spend eternity, but I don't want to be on that broad road. I want to be on that narrow road. Preacher, would you pray for me today? I want to make sure I'm on the right road. Yes, preacher, would you pray for me today? Whether at home or here in the sanctuary today, you can make that decision, make that choice. Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together, gathered around your word. Lord, we pray that you guide and direct. Lord, you know the nature and the need of each and every heart. Lord, I just thank you this morning that as I understand each and everyone's testimony here this morning, that they are saved, that they're on that narrow road. Lord, may we as individuals that make up the entity of this church right now, Lord, may our lives be a shining example of what it means to be a godly individual. Humble, understanding, loving, and caring about those on the broad road, regardless of their lifestyle, regardless of the active sin that's being displayed in their lives, that we'll care enough to take them the gospel, to share it with them, and hopefully and prayerfully lead them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, guide and direct now, we pray. As we go our separate ways this afternoon, come again here tonight to hear Brother Roberts. Father, fill him with your spirit that he will challenge us and again bring about those changes that you so much desire in our hearts and our lives. Now, Father, dismiss us with thy blessings, we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Joe and Deborah have talked to me about church membership. So we'll post their desire to become members here at Calvary Baptist Church. Next Sunday, we'll take the vote on it. All right? All right, we'll do that. Thank you.